Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is old friend Jeremiah. Jeremiah has been with us in the past. He's talked about some of his experiences, Draco reptilian human hybrid, and he's had quite a lot of experiences with ETs, but also with deep black elements, black ops, etc., that are involved in all of this. So, without any further ado, Jeremiah, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
How's it going, James? Great to be back as always.
Great to have you back. Tell me, what have you been up to, and what epiphanies and revelations have you come to since we last met?
It's funny because my life has taken a 180 at this point. It went from being highly paranoid and feeling as I was being gang stalked constantly in my life, not really being able to keep a job or hold a job, to the exact opposite. My life has taken a 180 at this point, and it seems that I've gotten my social life together, my financial aspect of my life together. I'm able to keep a job, hold a job, a lot of things now, and it's all predicated off of like an internal decision and conversation I had via V2K a couple months ago. I've even talked with other people in the community, and it seemed like my life was going down a certain pipeline. And I was faced with an, I'd say like a, I was faced with an ultimatum that wasn't necessarily brought to me verbally in this physical world, but more so in a spiritual aspect, or like in the spiritual world. And I made a particular decision, like I said, via a voice to skull conversation, and my life has changed since. It really has.
If you don't mind, could you go into some detail about how that voice to skull conversation played out and what the conversation was, the gist of it?
Okay, so I've pretty much talked to people in this community, and the way my life, the direction of my life prior to, having this conversation and making this internal decision, it seemed like my life was over. And there were a lot of reasons and things that foreshadowed exactly where I was headed. And like I said, I had spoken to other people in the community, and they had more so a pessimistic outlook as to where our lives were headed, being my labs or being in any of these programs. Pretty much, being a Draco reptilian hybrid, they always wanted to utilize me as an asset on the, on the physical aspect of my existence. They've already utilized me as an asset in my other alters and my other forms and things of that nature, but they also wanted to use me in this world. And so I used to, I'd say from maybe age 12 and up, I was tormented through voice to skull. I was tormented and gang stalked in a lot of different ways. I was highly paranoid. Like I said, I experienced a lot of what other people in this community have experienced. But I knew that there was an offer on the table. I don't know how I knew, but I had that feeling. It was it was presented to me in a lot of ways, covertly and also very blatantly at the same time. But pretty much in this conversation I had via voice to skull, it was either like, claim your creed, claim your lineage, and work for us in a lot of ways, or die. And those were my options, and it was looking like that. I was the gang stalking had ramped up, everything had ramped up, my life had pretty much gone down the drain. And like I said, I had spoken to people in this community who pretty much said like, yeah, you should go out on your shield, you should die, you should you don't ever want to be under their control in any type of way, shape, or form. And being like 23 or 24 at the time, 25 now, being 23 or 24 at the time, like a part of me wanted to live my life, a part of me wanted to just enjoy life. I spent so much time isolated. I spent so much time, just not being able to be human, and that sounds cliche and corny as it gets, but It is what it is. I was never able to be human. I was never able to enjoy my life and live my life. So I knew that they wanted to utilize me in this world. I knew, and I've had many near-death experiences now, and I've seen these people save me, and I knew they wanted to utilize me as an asset in this world as well. I'm pretty sure the pipeline I'm headed down now is military and perhaps deep, deep black military at some point. I could very well, end up, like deep black personnel at some point. And I've had people try to recruit me into the Air Force recently. I've had people try to recruit me into the Army. I've rubbed shoulders with quite a few covert agents in the past couple of months. Like I said, my life has taken a complete 180. It went from being gang stalked, not leaving my house, to, I mean, I work 6 days a week now. I go out to the club. I have a social group. I have a lot, quite a lot of friends. I go out and I drink and I club and I party and I've just gotten to enjoy my life. And they have not messed with me. They haven't messed with me at all. And this is a complete 180 from what it was. I couldn't leave my house without, going through the so-called street theater, or, what a lot of targeted individuals experience and report. And it has just completely taken a 180. And I guess I'll start with that.
The discussions you had via voice to skull, and then the, I don't know, lack of a better term, offer of recruitment or encouragement along certain paths, pipelines, if you will, you get the impression that these were ultimately working for the Draco reptilians, but in the form of deep black military that perhaps is enthrall or working with or for the Draco reptilians. Just wanted to clarify.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it is that facet. I mean, that's the facet they fall under for sure.
Yeah, that's an important point to make because I felt for some time that at least some elements of these deep black off-world human programs are part and parcel of the Draco Orion Empire. It's an offshoot of it. It's a long-term project on the part of the Draco to eventually incorporate, if you will, the what would become the advanced human aerospace off-world programs. And it looks like they've done a great job of that. We hear a lot of stories of people in these off-world programs that interact with the reptilians and Draco on a frequent basis. They share the same space vessels with them. And we see that reflected on Earth too. Here on the surface and underground, there are joint reptilian human bases in particular, not just any old aliens, but with reptilians in particular. So because you're a hybrid of theirs, and this is understandable to some degree, they seem to have a proprietary interest in you as well as with many other people. Like they look at you as one of them, basically, and want to bring you back into the fold.
I mean, as scary as it sounds, that's exactly correct. I'm not saying that they're not still present in my life. It's just a lot more covert, and it seems to be that they're allowing me to breathe, Whereas before there was this undeniable pressure that I really couldn't escape. I always had felt that, I felt like they were going to kill me, or they were, something drastic was coming if I didn't, I mean, fall in line, if you will. I also will say, I believe that, what's the word? My obedience has a lot to do with my altars, It had, and that's not, it's not an excuse, but I do believe that I was programmed to love my creed, if you will, or take pride in, who I am on a biological level, as it's not something I can control anyways,
Yeah, I've observed that with others with the Draco reptilian lineage that, well, there is an inner knowingness, a genetic origin, if you will, an understanding that this is who they are, where they came from. That's who their real family is. So they have more of a kinship, if you will, with. Some people identify with the Lyrians, with the Palladians, etc., and some people absolutely do tend to identify with the Draco. And I've met a number of people over the years who feel the same way. So, really, there's no shame in that. I mean, we all come under some kind of umbrella, if you will, a genetic extraterrestrial, what have you. Do you get a feeling of when? Or if they're going to reach out to you and start to utilize you more, because I know in the past when they put all this pressure on you, and which is very common, they like to apply a lot of pressure, especially on male reptilian human hybrids in these programs, get them in this state of anxiety, perpetual state of anxiety, chip away at their impulse control because it makes them more useful in some of these ops. Have you got any indication of how they may utilize you in the future?
I feel like I can shapeshift in a lot of ways, and I think this is I have certain capabilities, psychic capabilities, metaphysical capabilities, if you will. I'll take a video of myself in my room, and I'll start to project these lights. The lighting won't change, but other lights that project out of my auric field, have been caught on camera on numerous videos that I have taken of myself. There's a psychic element in my mind. With anyone that I connect to or speak with, I know what they're thinking. I know what they're gonna say. I know their intention. There's a lot of metaphysical capabilities that are also dormant within me. Mind you, my actual facial features, I look highly Draco, and we've discussed this before. I have these extended limbs, my hands, my face, my cheekbones, my jawline. I look human, but I also don't. I can grow a beard, and I shave my face. And at work, one of my coworkers was like, he told me, he's like, you look like an alien. He's like, you look like an alien. And then, yeah, I had another coworker said that I look, like lizard-like. So the human psyche, we've encountered reptilians before. And sorry, I'm getting off topic from the question that you asked. My mind's wandering. But no, I definitely have the ability to shapeshift, not at the level that, reptilians or full-blooded reptilians can shapeshift, but if they wanted me in some type of like covert op, I could very well sub grow my facial hair out in a week's time, gain a bunch of weight, shave my hair, you name it, and really, really change form. And I can also do that on a mental level too. So I can switch into alters. I can code switch in and out of corporate settings, in and out of, club life settings, you name it. And it's not just a character. I can, well, it is a character, but it's not a noticeable difference as far as like, well, it's a noticeable difference from my point of view, but if you were looking at me or speaking with me from the outside in, you wouldn't know that that's not who I am, because my mind can really switch. I can really shift in the characters and alters and play whatever part or role I need to play. And that's part of the MK Ultra. That's definitely, how the MK Ultra affected me, to where I'm able to compartmentalize in my mind and really be whoever I want, and take any role or position seriously. I think that's kind of just touching the surface level as far as like what I'm capable of in that world.
There is a chameleon-like aspect to that. And folks, I've seen pictures and video of Jeremiah. He definitely has Draco facial hybrid characteristics. And these characteristics and these physical characteristics, anomalies, if you will, they can manifest in different ways. Webbing between, the fingers and the toes, extra toes, right? I've seen that before. Also very pronounced ligaments, musculature, and certain like bony protuberances. I mean, there's quite a list of characteristics that jump out at me. There's an energetic factor as well. And I'm glad you mentioned the thing about the ability to adapt to any kind of social environment. I have a similar capability, right? I can just seamlessly slip in and out of certain places, and I'm very good at playing the gray man, if you will, where people don't even really recognize me, which at times is exactly what I want. I really don't want to stick out at times, right? I would rather just blend in, depending on the circumstances.
Right. And these are qualities that are instilled in us. I mean, obviously there's a genetic factor. I'm not quite sure what the reason would be as to why, obviously we're able to adapt in a certain way, and humans themselves are extremely tribal. And I'm sure from a young age we pick up on gestures and a lot of things that the people around us do. But as an adult, to be able to go in any room and still have that fluidity to you, still be able to shape shift and pick up pretty much the personality of anyone that you're speaking with, or project your own intention through them and connect on that level as well. I've gotten myself jobs like this. I'll sit there in front of the person who's interviewing me and I'll project my intention through them and I'll make them like me. And that sounds twisted and messed up, but I'm looking to capitalize in this situation and get this job. I can sit across from someone and project my intention to them. Like I said, I can honestly utilize anyone as an extension of myself and vice versa. If the situation is going to benefit me in the end, I can become an extension of you and become your asset in the meantime, if you will. And really program myself to be a part of a collective or also an isolated individual and move as my own, working part or as my own system, not working part, but as my own system. And I think it's sociopathic in nature, but I also think that it is like inherently and intrinsically reptilian, and this helps a lot, with CIA operatives. They do this, they like to hire ops who can, play different parts and different roles and fit in where they need to and collect information and intel and build databases wherever they need to without being noticed at all,
That's one of the characteristics they look for. Various spy agencies, the ability to blend in, the ability to impose one's will upon another person. And you were talking about from a job interview perspective. To some degree, we all do that. We try to sell ourselves. We try to convey to the interviewer and by extension, the company they're working for, I'm an asset. I would be beneficial to you. I would improve your company. I would improve the department that you're looking to fill, right? So there's an element to that that we all do anyway, but this is just taking it to another level. And different people do things different ways, right? I'm not being misogynistic, but like a pretty gal interviewing, right? And if it's she's being interviewed by a guy or a gal, she would consciously or subconsciously change her modus operandi ever so slightly, right? If it's a guy, there are certain bodily IQs, verbal cues that the woman could use if she's experienced and know how to use her gifts that can make the guy like her more, right? And so there's that overlay of, well, get him to like me, and then as time goes on, they begin to see, really, I'm all that I can claim to be. I will be very good at the job. I bring a skill set, whatever. But it's their looks, for example, in this example, that gets them in the door. Or if she's being interviewed by a woman, and then, right, then they subconsciously or consciously adapt to that, right? So,
Right.
we all do that to some extent. And one of the things about spying and the intelligence business is there's an undercurrent of just straight surface level espionage, for example. Betrayal is a big part of that too, because one ingratiates himself or herself into a given situation. The intention is, to steal information. The intention is to get someone to betray their own cause, to turn traitor, if you will. So it depends on what ultimately the person is going to be used for, right? So, and I'm glad you bring that up, and you bring it up with no shame, because it's a survival mechanism at this point. Because going forward, you're seeing in real time what's happening to society, right? It's being fragmented, and it's being divided into all these factions meant to kill each other off, right? And we got to find a way to, rise above all that. And tell me your thoughts now that we're on that particular subject, how you see potentially your role in light of all the stuff that's going on the surface, but also knowing what you do about, all these ET conflicts and these various ET groups, particularly the reptilians, working through, human hybrid proxies in the aerospace intelligence communities, what have you. I like your username, The War in Heaven, because it really fits. But the floor is yours, Jeremiah.
Yeah, it's just all about collecting our assets. I mean, it's gonna go the way everyone is expecting it to go. It's gonna be bad. It's a matter of time. Obviously, a lot of things need to close out politically, geopolitically, and they're looking to do that. I'm not. I don't agree with the agenda of the Draco. I do not agree with them. I'm in a predicament where there's not a lot of wiggle room. I was threatened on many levels. My family was threatened on many levels. And I mean, as far as like the One World Order is concerned, like this is where it's headed. It's gonna be a pretty dark path. They're looking to like I said, collect. That's the word that comes to mind. Collect all extensions of themselves on a physical level. I believe hybrids will be shepherded in military bases and et cetera, things of that nature, or killed off. I do believe that. I just believe the curtains are closing on this particular world stage. With the in light of the past events. There's been a lot of foreshadowing. We all know this. The way that immigrants have, invaded the West, completely, fled into our countries, have ran amok, if you will, and left American citizens with virtually, I wouldn't say nothing, but a lot less than we had. Now we're sharing land, we're sharing, everything, stores, you name it. With people who don't have the same values that Americans have. And everything's been stolen from us in a lot of ways. And if you think that, we'll be compensated for it, we've got something else coming our way. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. We definitely are not going to be compensated for what we've lost. It's definitely going to get darker. I believe certain Hitler-like, tyrant-like figures will rise. And it's gonna be pretty fucking medieval. That's my perspective on what's to come. Reptilians are starting to show themselves more. There's less of a covert element to the reptilian presence on this earth now, on this planet. And it's more so because humans are becoming more hip to this. It's not really, we've obviously the human psyche has always encountered reptilian presence. It recognizes reptilian presence, even if it's on a subconscious level. So, I'd say the blatant presence of reptilians will, begin to convey itself in a way that we haven't seen in the past. Sorry if that was not really on topic.
Oh no, because it leads to the next point and the next series of questions of where we're going with all this, because the reptilian hybrid psyche, within it there are certain exploitable characteristics, behaviors for many males in these projects. Like you went through before, they like to keep us in a state of high anxiety, isolation, loneliness, desperation, what have you. And when you're seemingly at times, you're being hit from every direction, finances, interpersonal relationships, whatever the case may be. And it does tend to drive one into a corner where, we are just overcome with this animalistic fear of paranoia. Because we really are getting messed with, we're really being hemmed into a corner, and they like us in that kind of feverish, anxiety-ridden state for whatever reason at times, because that's when they tend to pluck us and utilize us in some ops. We're in this state of high anxiety and in a feverish kind of state, low impulse control state, right? Where they chip away at our impulse control and they make us impulsive, and they like to provoke us into getting into fights and what have you, right? Keep us on a razor's edge, if you will. And that's just in our surface life. So when they pluck us and they utilize us in an op, we're already, our normal front consciousness is already trending in that direction anyway of low impulse control, violence and violent tendencies, what have you. And so if you look at what's going on collectively on the surface, as you pointed out, you're really seeing this predator-prey dynamic where we have a two-tiered policing system in many places where migrants, illegal immigrants, what have you, are allowed to run amok. And then people who stand their ground, people who defend themselves, people who just don't want to be eradicated and killed, they're the ones that the Frankfurt School 101 type justice system goes after. And you mentioned to me, I don't know if you want to get into this, you don't have to get into specifics, but even in your local area, you're seeing these like Afghans being brought in and other migrants. And these are people coming from worlds that have parts of the world that are so different from us as far as what's between the ears from a spiritual dynamic. It's not just a cultural genetic dynamic. There's an underlying spiritual dynamic beneath it. Because how else would one explain how a lot of these individuals from those cultures, those parts of the world, their beliefs are so different from ours? Like marrying children, child brides, honor killings, forcing women to be veiled, and then forcing them. Well, not forcing them, but enabling them to come into our societies and radically change them from the inside. This is absolutely an invasion, and it puts everyone on edge. And it's happened so fast, coming on the heels of the lockdowns just a few years ago. And now the immigration problem has been going on for some time in Europe. But to me, the immigration problem is brought down to human terms, the forced enmeshment of different cultures, entity infested cultures being brought in and predictably just turned loose, knowing what the tendencies of those individuals, especially in numbers, when they come in groups, right? Large groups, they tend to develop this hive consciousness mentality and a conquest mentality, which is completely alien in many ways to the West, especially the way the West has been pacified for so long through the Marxist indoctrination system. It's been left vulnerable. And now they're talking about open warfare on the surface, bringing the draft back, which means taking away males who normally would be at home protecting family and home and hearth. They're going to be shipped off to go fight and die elsewhere and just leave their neighborhoods and communities just ripe for the plucking from all these invaders that are being brought in. It's happened so fast, Jeremiah.
Right. Yeah, we can absolutely get into that. I will say this, you know, I'm more than compelled to join the military at this point, and I've made my mind up. Before we jump into the immigrant crisis, I want you guys to know, like, just how, you know, blatant it's become in my life. But also, I will say this. I went through that phase. Like, the heavy programming started when I was about 12 or 13, from the Voice to Skull to the MK Ultra to the abductions that I experienced in my dream state. And my, you know, I if you go back and listen to my first two parts, I was utterly tortured. I was completely tortured for 12 years of my life, starting when I was a young child. I was completely tortured. So they got the product that they wanted a lot sooner than they may have with someone that they started with later down the road, right? You know, I was 100% consciously and subconsciously, you know, coerced in a way. So I will say that I'm the way I am for a reason. There are, I work at a job right now. I won't say where, you know, just to, you know, not, I don't want to lose my job, but I work with 30 Afghan refugees. I work with Venezuelan gang members. I work with, I do computer work, so I don't do the hard work. This is nasty work, folks. This is work that most Americans would not do, you know, and I'm not saying that we don't have that working mentality. I'm saying that my generation is pretty lazy, and a lot of the older generations are just too old to do the work. I understand from a business aspect why they hire these people, but at the same time, they have no respect for our land. They have no respect for our country in any way, shape, or form. You know, I heard many derogatory comments when I first started working there. You know, things along, you know, I'd be in the bathroom and you can hear these Afghan guys, you know, they're staring at you. And I mean, these are like really, really, you know, like, these are ex-soldiers, you know, these are Afghan soldiers, they're refugees. These aren't, I mean, this is a different breed of man, if you will, you know, that I'm experiencing and encountering. And I'm there using the bathroom and or fixing my hair in the mirror, and all you hear is, you know, American this, Americano, American this, and, you know, they're clearly talking about you. Or with, you know, like some of the Venezuelan immigrants, they'd call me things like, you know, weto, which means like white boy, stuff of that nature. Or they, you know, give you these really like smug looks. And for whatever reason, my boss had told me to go on the floor and, you know, delegate, because we were trying to trying to mold a new shift, which was the night shift, which hadn't previously existed at, you know, the plant I work at. So what did I do? I went in there, you know, with all these, what's the word? I don't want to say anything. You know, trained killers. I don't know how else to say it. I went around, you know, these very capable men, if you will. And I delegated, you know, I conducted myself as I should, or as I had to. You know, I was yelling at these people to do their job, you know. And I got repercussions. I experienced repercussions. I experienced some of these guys trying to fight me, and I pressed the gas harder. It's not something that scared me. And I think this was a test for me in a lot of ways. The way that I even got the job, I went in there and I yelled and I projected my throat chakra to delegate what I had to delegate and form what I had to form. And it wasn't a problem for me, As for others, that might have been a really like intimidating, scary experience. And I had no problem with it. I had no problem with being aggressive and stern. And that was that reptilian in me, And we'll start with that, I guess.
What happens sometimes, even at the surface level, what the spook agencies do is they'll talent spot, they'll recruit someone through psychological profiling, in your case, psychological and genetic profiling, and they'll tuck them away in a job, and it could vary from kind of like a bookkeeping job where they're just stuck somewhere going over paperwork and don't interact much with people, and they're just kind of isolated. And the intention is to make them bored silly. So when the opportunity comes up later to do some other work, well, they jump at it because they're just tired of doing what they're doing and they want more. Or if the intention is to draw out, in your case, within you, these latent command authority behaviors, personality traits that they want to encourage and engender within you, they put you in a highly dangerous situation. I mean, what you described to me as far as your work environment, that's almost got the same dynamic as a prison yard,
Third world,
the
third
third
world.
world. You got the Nation of Islam here, you got the white the white survivalist over there, you got the the militant blacks over here, and you've got to navigate amongst all these people and assert your authority. Listen, you want to keep your job, this is what you're going to do, right? Don't give me any of your crap, right? And you got to put up with their insults and their jibes and their latent threats against you. And really, it's quite possible, like you suggested, because I've seen this pattern before, that it's a way of grooming you, preparing you for whatever may come next. If you're intended at some point to have some kind of command authority in some of these ops that you may be utilizing in the future on.
I will say, my voice is very loud, so it's also like this. There's all these machines in the background, and there's four languages on the floor at any given moment. Of comms happening all around me, and I'm not even. You can only imagine it. The first week or two I was there, it's like you don't know what these guys are fucking talking about. I don't know if they're gonna stab me in my neck. How do I know that? There's no. There is no I don't know. There's no solid ground. I have no solid ground, and I'm being forced to not only survive or like not only survive, but to actually, go above and beyond and present this gift I have, I guess, if you will, because I'm a natural leader and I'm also a natural follower. So I can fall in line very quickly. Although I have to be, if I am being led, it would have to be by like someone who I respect, from the very get-go. Maybe someone more Draco or someone who
Yeah,
has
well,
that
that's
type.
that R complex thing we were just talking about, the obeisance, if you will, to hierarchies, right? And also, because of your outward drac appearance, there's an element within you, you probably noticed it, even amongst those ruffians that you have to interact with, that when you want to, you can be intimidating, I'm sure,
Oh, God.
because you not only the outward Draco appearance will throw people off at a subconscious level. Some of them are thinking reptile Draco and they don't even know the terminology, but it's just there, right? Secondly, because of the ability to shape shift, the ability to project power and authority, energetically lift your chi up when you need to, Other people like bow up and thrust their chest out and thump on their chest like Tarzan, but you can do it just energetically by a gesture, by a look, right? So that has an effect too. They may not like you, they may despise you. At some degree, there's a level of respect there, I would think.
Yeah, they respect me, and I'm not even the line lead, and I'm also not the supervisor. Like I said, I do computer work, and I go on the floor to collect paperwork, And so I've created this I've built this level of rapport in a way to where, I'm still authorized to yell at the line, I'm still authorized to yell at anyone I need to, and get them in check, and they get in check really quickly. And this has always been, in my life, like with the tale of Medusa, it's all about the eye gate. Reptilian hybrids and reptilians alike have this ability to, tap into an eye gate, whether it's to intimidate or to seduce, even. Male hybrids, we have this thing where we can almost hypnotize, whoever we're trying to maybe attract. We have this very seductive energy that can project through our eye gates and really make whoever we're talking to fall in love with us. And that sounds really fucked up and, corny and cliche and Twilight-ish and a lot of other things, but I have that same effect to where if I'm in a confrontation with a man, I've frozen grown men. I've looked in the eyes of grown men who are trying, and if it doesn't work, we can fight. And it has gone that way, and I have won. You'll come across some people who don't. Their bloodlines have encountered reptilians from the very jump. So when you encounter them, you're up their alley. Their ancestors may have slayed reptilians. You're not sure. There's no way to tell, but their psyche isn't afraid of you, and you're not afraid of them. And I very well. I'm not saying at this job, but in my life, I've had these experiences where the confrontation gets physical and I have to reign superior. And that was a lot of my, earlier days when I was a kid, 16, 17, 18, so far, so on, so up. But most of the time, I will say this, that, when it gets to that point, I have to remind myself to blink. I don't blink a lot. I really don't blink a lot. I have to remind. I, if I am not consciously blinking, I will sit there and like just stare off into the distance and not blink at all and have that 1,000-yard stare. Because most of the day I don't feel anything internally. They've numbed my emotions. Like internal, I feel nothing at all. I will sit there and 1,000-yard stare if left alone. But yeah, in the face of confrontation, I've turned grown men to stone. I mean, I really have. Like, I'll lock into the eye gate, and my eyes, I have big eyes. I have these, like, hunter-looking, like, inward, reptilian-looking eyes. Just the shape alone, not even the pupils. But, yeah, I mean, I'll lock into your eye gate, and I can really, generate, fear or intimidation if I have to. And it comes from my solar plexus, even.
Yeah, because you know how to utilize the chi. You in your solar plexus, you move it up, and then you project it out of your eyes. And then what happens is it there is a like a visceral response within the person that you're doing this to. It affects them energetically, and depending on their karmic history, whatever trauma they've endured in their current incarnation. That latent energetic trauma is still in there, which your energy can link into and kind of revive it momentarily. You know what I mean? So what you do is you instill momentarily almost an either an animalistic fear, which they're going to have to fight to suppress, the person you're looking at, or this almost a mesmerizing kind of a hypnotic kind of aspect. Where you kind of bend them to your will. And you see this in all walks of life, right? I've sat across from people and talked to people who were attorneys, who were doctors, MDs, whatever the case may be. And if they're part of that Drac hybrid lineage, and so many of them wind up in these kinds of positions, right? Attorneys, doctors, what have you. And they're used to imposing their will on other people. They're used to utilizing consciously or subconsciously this ability to impose their will on others, get them to go along, either to instill fear, or instill compliance as a way to get them to do what they're supposed to do or what the person wants them to do, right? So you seem to have that ability. And again, I have to reiterate, folks, if you looked at a picture of Jeremiah, angular features, it comes down to a pointed chin. He's got the classic, deep set eyes, pronounced cheekbones, very big eyes, right? And the musculature, the shoulders, the arms, very drakish, very Draco hybrid reptilian. So, I mean, if that's part of the skill set, if you will, that you brought into this world, you might as well make use of it. In the time you got left in this first segment, Jeremiah, and it's been a fascinating discussion. Tell us a bit about the recent, and we'll delve into this more in the second segment. Tell us about the recent efforts at recruitment, where you mentioned the Air Force, you mentioned the Army. Usually they go after people that are, shortly going to graduate from high school, but you're well past high school and suddenly they're coming around again. And tell us about the circumstances of these approaches and the kind of appeal they've been using, whether it's a phony patriotic appeal or an emotional appeal to you, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, like I said, I turned 25 about 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, well past high school. I mean, I was at the nightclub maybe about a month ago, and some DPS trooper off duty, not sure what, hand he has in all this. I'm sure he could very well easily be a Freemason or part of some Jesuit order. Not exactly sure, but he just comes up and whispers in my ear. He says, join the Air Force for 4 years. And if you get the chance, claim disability at the end of it, and you'll be set for life. I'm thinking like, I'm out here trying to dance and, club and have a good time. And it's like, where is this coming from? Or why is this off-duty DPS officer bothering me, if you will, But there's been that, and there's also been a bunch of like, I don't, they've been, they've been showing me that they're watching me in a lot of ways, I was we can get into this more in the second segment, but I've had people at my job literally come up to me and tell me that they received intel on me, particular intel, regarding what drugs I was using or what I'd what I'd been up to. Creepy stuff like that, where it's like you realize, okay, yeah, there is no real, I have no real privacy in my life. I don't know how else to say it. Also, a lot of people who you think are your friends, maybe just advising you. I'm not sure if this is more of like a mind control thing, like an MK Ultra voice to skull kind of thing, where they plug into the people around you. But everyone has just been advising me to join the military on top of that. You never get a no. You never get like a no, maybe that's not a good idea. It's just like, well, why don't you go and join the fucking Air Force? It's like, that's why the Air Force? That's odd, things like that. But that one particular experience I had at the club was a that's what really, I really understood where I stood at that point, where everything was going.
You didn't know that guy. He just rocked up and told you that.
I did not know that guy from a hole in the fucking wall. Yeah, I've never met him. I haven't seen him since. I heard from him since. He actually stuck with me the whole night, and he kind of monitored me in a weird way, and like professed his loyalty to me in a weird way. But under the influence of alcohol, he looked me in my eyes and said, "Do not trust me," out of random. Said, I know I come off as friendly, but don't trust me. He literally said that, do not trust me. And I questioned him, and he didn't get into detail. He's But that was an odd remark he made.
mean, do not trust him?
He said, "Do not trust." Like, he looked me, and this was under the influence of alcohol, And he had kind of just monitored, like, he stuck with me and monitored me and followed me from like club to club. So we went from one club to the other because they're all connected on a strip, and so you can kind of just walk club to club. And yeah, he kind of just like hovered around me and stuck with me and kind of, like I said, professed his loyalty to me all night. And yeah, if we get into a fight, I got your back, bud, and all this other shit. And yeah, like somewhere down the line, I guess he drank too much and felt some level of guilt, for being false in nature to me or with me. And yeah, he looked at me in my eyes and said, "Do not trust me." And there was like this, like I said, this look of remorse in his eyes. And yeah, I mean,
Well,
that was a weird
it's like
experience.
he's doing what he was tasked to do, but he has, regrets about it. And if he was from law enforcement, we know that the CIA and other intelligence agencies have long had their hooks into American law enforcement. If you there's many well-publicized cases of political assassinations, whatever the case may be, where it seemed that intelligence had embedded itself into certain law enforcement agencies, right? And we also know how they can combine them in multi-jurisdictional task forces under federal control, whatever the case may be. So, what they did with you there in the nightclub, that's a time-honored, like, recruitment pitch effort just to plant the seed, let you know, hey, we're watching you. We got something in store for you. You can really make a career for yourself, if you will, but the guy has misgivings because there's an element of him that's like regretting his role and involvement in it and whatever past misdeeds he may have got into, because that whole organizational outfit, whatever he's a part of, whatever it's connected to, is dirty as hell. We know that. And especially if he's trying to encourage you to join the Air Force of all things. Anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest Jeremiah. And for our viewers and listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.